We're coming a little bit closer to the one section, and we're going to spend a little bit of time in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter number 5, when it says, blessed is, and we're going to look at a lot of the different things in there. But there is one here in James chapter 1 that I've been praying about for a number of weeks, and even when we talked in James chapter 1 towards the end of the chapter about blessed is, talking about being listening to the Word of God, not just hearing the Word of God. There is another blessed in James chapter number 1 that I think is really good, and the Lord has just kind of put it off for a few weeks, and I think there's a little bit of a connection to what we talked about on Sunday morning, and that's part of the reason why he kind of combined the two together so they go back to back. It's the idea of not quitting, not giving up. It says in James chapter 1, verse number 12, the Word of God says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So tonight, we're going to look at this idea, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And the same thing with this word blessed. We're looking at it from three different angles this upcoming year. Blessed and the idea of how thankful we are for all the things we have spiritually and physically. Many people say, I am truly blessed. The idea of blessed is, talking about in the Old Testament, happy is the man. And a very similar word in the New Testament that's found when it uses the word blessed, it does talk about the happiness that's found when you do those things, but also kind of gives the idea of this is the life that God will bless and the life that God can bless. And he's saying here, you're going to find blessings and you're going to find happiness, enjoyment, and in the fulfilling of what God's trying to do. And now, once again, we've looked at a lot of these different things, and we talked about, man, blessed is more to give than to receive. And you're thinking, man, it's a lot more fun receiving than it is giving. And blessed is those in the right type of serving, and the blessed is this. And many times it's completely different than what the world would give. Completely different than what you've been told. Completely different than what your flesh would say. And if it wasn't found in the Bible, we probably wouldn't believe it to be true. But tonight's one of those things. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. And the scripture here, this word temptation, is used in two different senses throughout the Bible. There's the one time when it's used as it is in verse number 12, when it's talking about being tested, being tried, put under a trial. Then there's the other times you see in verse number 13 when it talks about, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. It talks about a solicitation to do evil. Most of us think that that's when we think about temptation, we think about, I am tempted to do something wrong, and it's a solicitation to do evil. But in verse number 12, I believe it's talking about a trial and a testing that God has given us, and God is molding us, and God is making us exactly what he wants us to be. Similar to like we learned about on Sunday morning about the refiner's fire, that he's pulling out the dross, he's pulling out the impurities, he's taking the scum off the top of us. And here the Bible is saying that it's not running away from your temptation. It's not something that we're trying to ignore the temptation or trying to get out of the temptation. He's saying instead, blessed is the man that endureth. That actually endures, that stays under the temptations, that stays with the trials, stays faithful during the testing, and stays faithful during the hard times, that person is the person who's going to find the joy and happiness and peace that God has to offer. That person is a person who's going to be mature and is going to be mature in their faith and is a person that can be used by the Lord in a special way. Then you even see here that it says, for when he is tried, talking about as he's endured the temptation, endured the trial, he shall receive the crown of life. And tonight's message is not about the different crowns that are there. This crown of life is also mentioned in the book of Revelation, and there's different crowns that are throughout the Bible. But this is one I believe is talking about one that has drawn nigh to the Lord and has a special type of relationship and has endured the temptations, endured the trials, and has grown closer to the Lord because of the trials and the testing. I can only speak for myself, but when I have endured trials and temptations in my life, I've grown closer to the Lord. Either I forsake it or I draw closer to it.
It's not always when things are easy and when things are going so convenient that I realize how much I depend upon him. And it's when those trials are happening and when those temptations are happening that I learn to grow closer and closer to him, that he is walking, as we just heard, we're never alone. So how do we learn about this? We're going to go back to the beginning of the chapter and see where it's talking about the different temptation or the different trials. I believe testing will either drive you to the Lord or will drive you away from him. Many times Christians respond in bitterness. Many times they consider that God is allowing them to do something or God is doing something in their lives and it's like it's a punishment. But that's not always the case. Sometimes it is because of sin, but often the testing and trials we've gone through, we see in the Bible, they are there to make them better, to make them closer to the Lord. Think about this as we go get ready. Can you imagine that the Lord is allowing something to test you and try you, and you become bitter about the one thing he's trying to do to develop you and to make you love him better? He's developing, he's allowing something to happen to help you mature. He's allowing something to happen. He's putting you under that fire. He's putting you in that test. He's putting you through that trial so you will become more like him, like we talked about in our sanctification process. So we will learn how to love him better. But we instead become bitter about the thing he is trying to use to bring us closer to him. It's an interesting thought. And that's where you come to this idea, blessed is the man that endures the temptation. He's not the one that is running away from it. He's not the one that's ignoring it. He's not the one trying to get out from underneath it. Instead, he's the one that is willing to be faithful and be patient and say, Lord, teach me. And I don't think there's anything wrong with saying why and the idea that asking God to show us what he's doing. But instead, it's what do you want me to learn through this? So let's go back to this. This is, once again, another fantastic chapter in the Bible. I know we say that about a lot of chapters, but James chapter 1 has so much in it. And let's look here in James chapter number 1, and we're going to go ahead and just read verses 1 through 13, going to kind of walk our way through it and make some application here. And I pray it's an encouragement to you. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Then he says, verse number 2, this is speaking to brethren, believers, people who are children of God. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptations. Now, we look at that and we see that sounds strange. So the Bible is saying that we are supposed to be joyful when we fall into divers temptations. Now, the word divers is talking about different types of temptations, different types of trials. There are certain things. We're all different. We're all made up differently. There are certain tests that's going to help us become like Christ. And there are certain other things that isn't going to help us at all. So depending on who you are and what you've done and those different divers temptations, those different type of trials and testings that you have, he says, look, I want you to find joy in that. He's like, again, another trial, another test. That seems like it's overwhelming. How can I find joy in a test? How can I find joy in a trial? And it gives this picture that, hey, I want to become like Jesus. And if it means I need to become like Jesus and I need to become more sanctified, that there are certain things, a certain test that we have to go through in order to learn to be like him, we must learn to be patient. I know that I was never super excited about taking tests in school. And I know some of you have degrees, and some of you have degrees in specific areas. And if you wanted to become a doctor, you had to pass certain tests. You had to go through certain clinicals. You had to go through different trying type experience in order to become that doctor. And so if we want to become like Christ, they're saying that there is different tests that happen in our lives. We should find it joyful, the fact that God has brought us into another test, brought us into another situation that's going to help us become like him. Now, who does that? Not very many people. Now, in all reality, we don't want the hardship. We don't want the trials. We don't like the potter poking and making and pulling us apart. Most of us say, just give me something easy. But that's what our prayer life is about. Are we looking for relief? Or are we looking for revival? Are we looking for God to give us what we want? Or are we looking to glorify him? And I think what the scripture is saying here, that when my brother counted all joy when you fall into divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. There is a purpose for this.
And sometimes people are like, oh, this is worthless. I don't see how this is helping. I don't see how this is going to do any good. I don't understand why I have to deal with this. I don't understand why I have to go through this. I don't understand why I have to even have this happen to me. But the Bible's painting it this picture. Look, if you'll have joy with this understanding that with this testing, it's going to work something in your life. And we got to be patient with the Lord. We got to let him do the work. I think about that word patience, and that word patience can be noted to a lot of different people. We can think about how a photographer has to be patient in the idea that sometimes it will sit for a long period of time just to get the right picture of the sun or the right picture of a child doing something. You got to be patient and wait for the right moment, the right time. I think about even farmers that will plant and they'll prepare the soil and they'll plant the seed and they're waiting patiently for the crop to come up. And I think about all different types of people that patience could come through. But let's apply that to God. If God is molding us and making us and has a desire that we would become like his son, he is allowing things to happen to us so that way someday we will be like him. And sometimes those tests and trials that happen are not always easy, but they're necessary to show us things about ourselves and to teach us things about God. And so that's what he's saying here, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And just as we can't get ahead of ourselves and we can't just, and certain things, you got to be patient and kind. If you pull the thing that you're cooking out of the oven too early, what's going to happen? It's not going to be what you want it to be. And when you pull yourself out of if you're trying to lose weight and you're trying to exercise and you stop before the goal, what happens? You don't reach the goal. And here is saying, if you will understand this, but let patience have her perfect work, in verse number 4. But let patience have her perfect work, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work. And that idea of perfect does not mean we're ever going to be here on this earth perfect in the idea that we're going to be exactly like him. Thankfully, someday we will be glorified and have that perfect body. It's not going to happen here, but that's speaking about being entire. It's being mature. It's talking about being complete. And it says, wanting nothing. That's what these trials and testings happen, so that way someday we could be like him. The Apostle Paul is confusing to many of us when he talks about how he will glory in the tribulations. You know, when these things happen to Paul, he's like, I'm going to glory in those tribulations. And he talks about how he's willing to deal with all these different hardships, deal with all these different trials and testings. Why does he say he's willing to do that? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. He viewed it when something came in his life. He was brought to a test. He was brought to a trial. And he didn't look at it and say, man, this is horrible. This is wrong. He instead looked at it and says, somehow God is going to take this and God is going to make me look more like Jesus at the end. He's going to take this situation. And I know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to the called according to his purpose, that God's going to take this situation, this issue, this problem, this test, and this trial, and if I will let patience have its perfect work, let patience have her perfect work, that he's going to make me more mature as a believer, and I'm not going to be wanting anything because I have everything I need because I have him. Say, how in the world do you do that? It says in verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, I always say if any man, it's if any of you, because not only do men need wisdom, ladies need wisdom too, right? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God. If you can't let this wrap around your head and say, I don't understand how I can be happy and be blessed by enduring the temptation, because I've learned this principle that the trying of my faith worketh patience. And if I let patience have that perfect work, it's going to make me entire and wanting nothing, perfect and entire. That's hard for me to understand when I'm going through something and I'm experiencing something and things just don't make any sense. So what am I supposed to do? Ask God about it. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And what does God do about it? Does God turn around and give you a hard time? No, he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and give ask of God that give it to all men liberally. and upbraideth not, and shall be given him. He doesn't turn around and say, smack you on the back of the head and say, hey, don't you already know this? The upbraiding not. And he did look at some of the disciples sometimes and just say, why don't you know this already? Are you without knowledge? And where is your faith to show them this is something you should have already received? This is something you should already be learning. But he's doing that to show the importance. I need you to know this in order to become where you want to be someday, or where all our desire is. So when we fall into that diverse temptation, once again, the temptation for some people are super, the testing is for different people, different things. To me, you're never going to test or try me with a cigarette. I think they're disgusting. You know, booze, that's not going to tempt me. For other people, I know it does. But there are things in my heart and my life that, yeah, there's a temptation of wasting time. There's a temptation with having focus on other things. There's a temptation with being smart-aleck and, you know, being, you know, quick tongue and all those things. There's certain tests and trials. Those are all solicitations to do wrong. But what he's saying here is when you are going through a difficult situation, i.e. a Daniel, an Abraham, a Joseph, an Esther, even a Ruth in the Bible, and you see all the different characters that it seems like they're going through something that seems like it's unable to handle and don't know what God is doing. And it's like you read the story, and some of those stories seem like they're too good to be true. How in the world could that ever happen to that David would have been a little shepherd boy that killed the lion and killed the bear and killed the Goliath and then was anointed to be king and then was chased by the king and then ended up being king? And it's like if they put that out in a movie, you wouldn't even think it was possible. But all those different times, there was different testing and different trials. David could have said, forget this, it's not worth it. And he could have left and said, I don't want to have anything to do with this. But what that would have happened then? He would have been wanting something. He would have been needing something. He would have never learned the things and taken the test that God wanted him to take. He would not have been perfect, entire, wanting something. So this is the challenge here is, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to talk to the Lord about it. Because I know, I look at you and I see you. I know some of the trials that you're going through. I know some of the heartaches that you're facing. I know some of the physical limitations that you have, and sometimes the emotional limitations that you have, and sometimes the financial limitations, and sometimes it's our families that are going through it, and sometimes it's church issues, and sometimes it's spiritual warfare, and sometimes it's physical things, and it's overwhelming. So what am I supposed to do with it? You're not supposed to give up. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, that goes through the trial, and that deals with the testing and learns those things that the Lord wants him to learn. And he says, if you lack wisdom, now what does the word wisdom mean? It's more than knowledge. You can know the whole dictionary front and back and still be a fool. You could know the whole Encyclopedia Britannica and still act foolishly. That's a better way of putting it. Because there's people that are a lot smarter than people that are spiritually minded sometimes when it comes to knowledge. But it's when you take that wisdom and you apply that wisdom and you let the Lord apply the wisdom into your heart and life. We need the wisdom. That's why he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. We need wisdom. With wisdom, it's talked about applying the circumstances of life to Christian living. Wisdom is taking the principles that we find in the Word of God and we apply them to our hearts and we apply them to our lives and we make sense of them through the Bible. Who does that? God does that for us. It's something we need his help. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. God's the one that has it, that giveth to all men liberally. He's not withholding it. And you go and you look in the book of Proverbs, wisdom, there is crying out, it's available. It says this is precious, it's more precious than gold, more precious than ruby, more precious than silver. It's available, it's there for us. And it says, it says in verse number 6, the next step. It says, and it shall be given to him in verse number 5. But look at the next thing. He says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with wind and tossed. So what he's saying here is that, look, when you ask, do it in faith. Believe that God has the wisdom. Believe that God knows what he's doing and resting in him.
And sometimes the test and trial means that you have to go somewhere else. Sometimes the test and trial means that your life is turned upside down. I mean, Daniel went to Babylon. Joseph was sent to Egypt. Abraham left his area. But it's the idea, I'm trusting, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which give it to all men liberally and upbraid if not, and it shall be given him. And he says, but don't ask thinking that God doesn't know what he's doing. Don't turn around and say, God, I need wisdom here because I need to figure out what's happening and not believe that God's not going to help you. He said, let him ask. It says in verse number 6, but let him ask in faith. You believe that God is in control. You believe God knows what he's doing. You believe God has everything under control. Nothing wavering. That you, as he leads you and guides you, you make the right step. You make the right decision. And then he gives this illustration. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and the tossed. I know some of you are familiar with the water, and some of you are familiar with the waves. And when a storm is going, one of the most unpredictable things can be is just how the waves is going to break and how it's driven and tossed by the wind, which most cannot sit there and see how that's going to happen, where it's going to come from. And it says in verse number 7, he says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So picture this, he's putting us through a test and trial. He says, you're going to be blessed when you do this. You're going to be blessed in this if you're willing to endure the temptation. If you continue on, you continue on living, continue on being correct with the Lord and right with him. And then you come to the spot and you realize God's testing me. Or the devil is trying to, he's using the devil's attack to be a way to test us and trials he did in Job's life. And many times, and then you have this, he says, you sit there and you wait and you wait and you let that patience have that perfect work. You become perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When we don't understand it, we ask the Lord. But he says to do it in faith. He says, because you're not going to receive anything from the Lord if you're not doing it by faith. If it's not something that you believe and trust that he can work. So what this does not do is give us a chance to act fleshly. It's not, God, I'm trusting you, and then I'm going to go take care of it myself. Enduring through the temptation, enduring through the trial means that I'm not going to go out on my own and I'm not going to try to fix this. Instead, I'm going to endure through it. I'm going to let God do his perfect work. I'm going to each step do biblical things and do it according to him. And I'm going to listen for him. If you're a part of our senior luncheon yesterday, we talked about listening to God. And this is not just listening, but it's listening to what he desires. And so often we get ahead of God. And so often we think we know what God wants. We think we know what God's going to want us to say. Instead of listening to God, we pray and make a quick prayer, and then we go do what we think God wants us to do. And many times that's like what we do in our physical relationships. Many of our conversations are not conversations in the idea we really truly want to listen to the other person. Many times our conversations are based on, I need to correct you, so I'm going to listen to you say your stuff, and then I'm going to say what I know I'm going to say without even hearing what the other person has to say. And sometimes we do that when it comes to our relationships with God. We believe we know exactly what God wants us to do in this situation, and we jump ahead of him and we go and do it. And that's you need to listen to the voice of the Lord. Prayer is a two-way street. Conversations with the Lord. We listen to the Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. We listen to the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us and direct us. But so often, just like in our physical relationships, how many times do we listen to people? Whether it's your husband or your wife or your coworker, and you think you know what they want. You think you know what they're going to say. And you just go ahead and don't even pay attention to what they're saying and do what you think is right. Listen to the Lord. And he's saying, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. It means putting your faith and trust in him, leaning onto our own understanding and saying, I know I'm going through a hard time. I'm going through a trial and I'm going through a test. But instead of pushing it away, instead of not wanting it, I'm embracing what the Lord is allowing me to go through so that way he can have his perfect work in me so I can be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And when I struggle with what's happening, I need to ask the Lord. And then it says in verse number 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We come to the spot and we think, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If our heart's in two different spots, it's going to be very unstable. You're going to act and say and you're act out, but over here you're going to want to be spiritual. You're going to say one thing out of one side of your mouth, another thing out of your other side, because you're going to be completely confused. If you will let the testing and the trials have their perfect work and believe and trust in what God's doing, you're not going to become overwhelmed. You're not going to become frustrated. Now, the days are not going to be easy. And sometimes the trials can be physically and tough, physically hard, and they wear you out. And sometimes we've seen those things happen. I see some of the stories of what Paul went through and physically beaten. I mean, what can you do with that? Shipwrecked, all those different things, all those different trials, all those different temptations. But all the Lord was doing was making him ready, a vessel ready to be used by him. I don't understand. Ask the Lord about it. He will help.
Then it says in verse number 9, he gives some illustrations here. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low. Because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the passion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. He's talking about riches, and that sometimes people look up to riches, and they look up to rich people, and the influence and the power and the esteem that they have. How long does it last? Just a short period of time. But if you consider the trials and testings, what God is trying to do in your life, and he's trying to make you like his son, but more important like that, he has a plan and purpose in your life that you can make a difference in someone's life for eternity. What happens in this world to us is not as important as what we can make an impact in an individual's life for all of eternity. This world is truly only 80 or 90 years. Is that all we have in this world? And we look across all these different flags and we see that there's thousands and millions of people in these different areas and these different places. And we think our neighbors and we think our family and we think the impact. Yes, the rich might seem like they have everything that's going really well and seems like they have all this authority and all these other things, but the impact they make is only temporal. But we can do things that can last for eternity. And how do we do that? We learn to endure through temptation. Some of the sweetest and kindest people I've met in my life are the people who have endured through temptation. They've seen the trial. They've been through the trial. They've been through the fire. They allow God to take out the dross and the impurities. And in the end, no, they're not Jesus, but at the same time, they have a sweet, kind spirit that God uses to make a difference in this world. And some of the most bitter people I've met in my life are the people that have not endured the temptation, endured the trial. Instead, they've become bitter. And they're upset and angry. Angry at the world, angry at many other things. They've run from it. They haven't learned the things that God wanted to teach them. They ask the question, why in the world is God allowing these things to happen to me? All those other things that happen, and they become bitter Christians. How many times have we knocked on doors and they said, oh, I used to go to that church. Well, I used to go to church many years ago, and there's something that happened in the church, and there's some type of trial or temptation that happened in their lives, and they become overwhelmed, and they're like, I guess couldn't handle it, I guess couldn't deal with it, and now, instead of worshiping the Lord on Sundays, they're sitting at home still upset about what the trial and temptation was all about, and what God was using that testing and that trial, that I want you to become more like me. I want you to love me more. I want you to grow closer to me. I'm allowing this to happen in your life. Because remember, in the story of Job, we learned the devil couldn't do anything to Job without God's permission. And that it was the trials and the tests that God used, how the devil attacked him to be able to refine him and to make him more like at the end where he says, look, I repent in dust and ashes. And as we mentioned earlier on Sunday, he said, you know, behold, my eye seeth thee. I've heard thee by the hearing the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Now I see God. I see how God can work and I see how God moves. I see what God is doing. We, instead of just hearing about it, we actually see him working. And I think so many times it's when we hear about it and we want to believe it and we want to ask in faith, but our faith is wavering. It's hard to trust. It's hard to hold on. It's hard to say, I'm going to endure through this. I'm going to keep on working. I'm not going to lose my testimony. I'm not going to lose the Spirit of God in my life and the idea of the power of God on my life. I'm going to continue to make right choice after right choice, even though it might be dark. I'm going to continue to go through this testing so that way someday I'll be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And if I don't know how to deal with it, I need to ask the Lord.
But not ask the Lord just to make me feel better, but to ask the Lord by faith that he will reveal himself to me and trust that he is making me more and more like his son.
There's a poem I enjoyed it. The author is unknown, but it was on one of the commentators I was reading. It says, "Is there no other way open, God, except through sorrow, pain, and loss, to stamp Christ's likeness on my soul? No other way except the cross." And then a voice stills all my soul, as still the waves of Galilee. "Canst thou not bear the furnace heat, if midst the flames I walk with thee? I bore the cross, I know its weight. I drank the cup I hold for thee. Canst thou not follow where I lead? I'll give thee strength, lean hard on me." And I thought, how many of us are willing to say, "I'm willing to go through this trial if it means I turn out to be a stronger Christian at the end"? Paul said that. That's what Paul's desire was. And then we look at this and we think, that's crazy. That's good for Paul. But what about me? And we come to verse number 12 and he says, "Blessed is the man that endureth that temptation." If I had to go through those things, my life's going to be horrible. My life is going to be miserable. It's not going to be worth living. But he says, no, that's not the life that's not worth living. The life that's not worth living, or the life that we need to change, is the one that's bitter. The life that needs to change is the one that's not willing to go through the trial and the temptation and learn what God is trying to speak to their heart. He says, blessed, happy is the man that is supremely blessed, the man that can be used by God, is the one that endureth the temptation, that goes through that temptation, that experiences that. And then when the patience has her perfect work, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. It's trying your faith, and that patience has that perfect work. Even though it's the enduring that's difficult, staying under it is difficult, it is hard. Don't give up. Don't throw in. Don't stop serving. Don't stop looking at him. Don't stop trusting in him. Let that patience have her perfect work. And the Bible says, that's the life that's blessed. That's the life that is happy. That's the life where you'll find the joy at. Most people say, oh, the joy is never having a problem. The joy is never having a complication. The joy is never having... How do we learn to trust in him unless the storms happen? I mean, they would have never... The disciples' eyes were wide open when they came and they shook him and said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And afterwards, he stills the whole sea. And they look at him and says, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and seas obey him?" Their eyes were open because of the storm that they had gone through. And their storm was just short-lived. And sometimes our storms and our trials, and the cross that we're called to carry, the cross that we're called to carry is hard and it's tough, but it makes us become more like him if we let God help us through the testing time. And most of us say, no, that's not the good times. But if we go back and we look on our lives, some of those things that we thought we were never going to live through, some of those things we thought were so overwhelming we didn't know if we could make it, those were the times we drew closer to him. We became stronger as a Christian and closer to our families. And continues on, it says here, "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." It's the idea that I think that these testings help us learn to love him better and to see his love for us. And then he says this, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God." Don't you dare say that God's tempting you to do evil. That's not the type of temptation we're doing. And that's why I think it's specifically written here. It's right next to each other. The different senses that's used for in the testing and the trial and the solicitation of evil. God does not tempt us to do evil. We like to blame him for our problems. We like to blame God. "Well, I'm that way because that's the way God made me." No. Just as Adam said, look at this, he blames Eve, but he also says, "This woman that you gave me." We like to blame God for our sins, but God has given us everything we need to live a victorious Christian life. And the struggles that we have and the temptations we have for evil and sin, they do not come from the Lord. It says right here, "For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." It's just not going to happen. And then it says in verse number 14, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed." So tonight, what do we learn? Where do we go? What do we experience from this message?
Stay with the trial. It's easy to walk away, but you're not learning what God had taught you or wants to teach you. And sometimes you have to go through it again. I never failed a class. Chemistry, I was wondering about, because when I was in high school, my chemistry teacher was a lady from India, and I could not understand her, but I really didn't. And she was my science teacher, 7th through 12th grade. Mrs. George was her name. And Mrs. George, I couldn't understand her very well, but I learned 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. I don't think I was really interested in chemistry. It's one of those classes I think, I don't really need anyway, so why do I need to learn it? I mean, who needs to learn all those periodic tables and those little... Okay, so I did that, and I ended up with, I think, a C. I think it might have been one of my few C's all throughout school. But when you fail a class, what happens? You have to retake the class. And sometimes I think when the testing that God's trying to do in our life, trying to mold us and make us like his son, if we don't endure it, we're going to deal with it somewhere else. We're going to have to go through it again. It's sort of like that impurities that was in the metal we talked about on Sunday morning. When it gets super hot, there's the opportunity to get rid of it because the fire, the time that's happening. But when the fire comes up, the impurities are there. But what happens when it cools down? The impurities go right back into it. If we don't learn it through the test he's doing now, what's going to happen? You're not going to end up being perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You're still going to need what he wanted you to learn then. And it's going to be a different trial, a different testing that's going to cause you to, once again, remind yourself, I should have learned that a long time ago. I'm not the brightest guy in the world. And I know there's been many lessons God had to show me more than once. You need to do this. No, I'm fine. I'm good. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to be put under the fire. I don't want to be put through the trial. I don't want to take that test. Okay, later on. Same thing or something similar brings up the same impurities, brings up the same issues. Should have learned it back then. I don't want to learn it. I don't want to learn it. Endure through temptation. Endure through the trials. Learn what he's trying to teach you now. You say, well, that other person that's in the trial needs to learn a lot more than me. You should be worried about your trial and your temptation. And allow God to do that work in you so you may be able to help somebody else. And show somebody else. So tonight, most people would say the blessed life is the life that never has a test or a trial. But the Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Not only do they have the test and trials, they go through the test and trials. And when they go through that test and trials, like you talk about in the book of Job, they come forth as gold. They come forth looking more like our Savior. So tonight, don't run away from things. Instead, endure through the temptation. Not just being bitter. I wonder what happened. No, ask of the Lord if you need wisdom. Let patience have her perfect work that you may be in perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Let him ask in faith, believing that God is in control and that God can do all these things. And in the end, no matter what happens and no matter what you look like, you can glory in the fact that you look more like him and that the power of Christ has the opportunity to rest upon you. Because when you run away from the temptation or the trial or the test, the power of Christ isn't going to be there. Tonight, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. God, you are so good to us. We need you. There's no doubt of that in our lives. Sometimes when trials and tests happen, we don't really want to go through them. Most, if not all, don't really want the temptations and the trials. But Lord, after we live through them, we look back and say, I wouldn't change that for the world. Because during that time, I got to know God better. I understood him better. I learned. And that
even though that no trial or temptation is convenient or easy, Lord, allow us to let God have his perfect work in our heart and life. Help us to believe that what the Bible says, that all things do work together for good. And Lord, when we don't understand, help us to ask for wisdom. Lord, help us to believe in faith that you can make everything turn out according to your plan, and that this test and this trial, even though we don't see it and we don't understand it, can make us stronger. It's a tough challenge to do, but help us to be like Paul in the idea that he was willing to face these infirmities. He was willing to even glory in them if it meant that the power of Christ would be upon him. And Lord, help us never forget the testing and trial that Jesus himself went through for us. The cross, the garden, the crown of thorns, the beating he took, being rejected by man, being betrayed, being denied. He didn't have to do any of those things. He did it all for us. Help us not to fall under the weight of the trial and the test. Instead, let us remember that the refiner is sitting by the fire, making sure nothing is going to harm us as we put our faith and trust in him. Lord, help us to endure through the temptation. In Jesus' name, amen.